Indy, over here.
Indiana Jones, at your service, Toad. Ah!
Indiana Jones and other action figures new from Raiders of the Lost Ark Collection, each sold separately.
Watch him, Cairo, swordsman.
Yeah, watch my swing.
Nice!
Phew. All downhill from here, swordsman. You'll be sorry, Jones.
Tricked you again, Toad.
Indiana Jones, Toad, and Cairo Swordsman action figures, each sold separately from Raiders of the Lost Ark Collection, new from Kenner.
Okay, this is Tony for the Action Room, and we're here on the deck of the USS Intrepid, and I have with me...
Producer Mike, and do we have to listen to this horrible Kelly Clarkson song the whole time?
I know, it doesn't really exactly fit. And we also have the Action Room's movie correspondent...
Kim Rogers, and don't be bashing Kelly Clarkson.
You like Kelly Clarkson?
I love Kelly Clarkson.
Right. Okay, we'll move on.
Kim, this will be your last appearance on the Action Room.
Damn it.
Damn. All right, so it's the Intrepid. We are on the deck. There are not really seats, so we are on blankets. And there's tons of fighter jets everywhere.
And Bank of America handed out these awesome millimeter-thick cushions for our butts.
Our asses are very cushioned. They also handed out tiny vials of water.
You know, for the thirst.
I don't say bottles, I say vials, for a very specific reason.
And a $7 sandwich from Bopan, or whatever it is.
And beer, and Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Wait,
did we mention why we're here?
Yes, this is really all about seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark. The city of New York and the Intrepid are having a summer movie series, which we only just learned about. Earlier, they showed what? Ghostbusters?
They showed Top Gun Memorial Day weekend.
Oh.
Field of Dreams, Ghostbusters, Goonies, Still to Come is Rocky and the original Iron Man.
They did this last year, too?
Yes, and I didn't know about it until I read about it in Time Out like 2 weeks ago.
Man, I just heard about it on Twitter. That's sadly how I find out everything now.
By the way, if you don't know or haven't seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, please stop listening now.
Yes. Please go see it and rectify that, or just never listen again.
Should we ask a few people if they've seen Raiders? Let's ask.
Well, let's see. How mobile can we be with our unit here?
Very mobile.
Okay. Kim, ask somebody in front, the people in front of you. Yeah. Well, actually, no. Ask these people right over here.
We're doing a podcast, and we just wanted to see if you guys have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. Please say yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What is your main memory of ever seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I hate snakes.
Don't we all? Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? What about this atmosphere? Isn't this amazing?
Definitely the best venue for outdoor movies, for sure.
Gotta love New York City, right? Well, enjoy the movie.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to us.
All right, so, yeah, Producer Mike's gonna take it.
I'll see how far it goes. Have you seen Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Of course.
What's your favorite scene?
The one where the faces come off.
Like melt off?
Yes.
Have you seen Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite part?
The first one, this one, I guess.
What's your favorite part of the first one?
I think the part where he jumps off with the whip.
Where he jumps with the whip. That's a good part. I like that part. Anybody else have a favorite part? Oh, you're a first-timer? You're going to enjoy it. Although there's a lot of cliches that you've seen in other movies. That's the only thing. Have you seen Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I have.
What's your favorite part?
Probably anything with the snakes, when they fall into the snake pit.
Yeah, why does it have to be snakes? Why do you have the longest snake-like cucumber I've ever seen?
I know, awkward, right? Going through security, I was like, he's going to stop me.
It could be used as a weapon. How about you?
Yeah, I have seen Raiders.
And what's your favorite part?
And when they open the Ark.
When they open the Ark and the face melts off?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, don't give it away.
Oh, you have seen it. Oh, you didn't see the ending? All right, well, what do you think of this atmosphere, seeing it on the Intrepid?
This is pretty awesome.
I want to say, as a geek and a nerd, the battleship reminds me tremendously of one of my favorite anime series, Star Blazers is the United States name, and in Japan it is Space Cruiser Yamato, or Space Battleship Yamato. And of course, it is an enormous battleship that looks not unlike the Intrepid that flies off into space to defend Earth from an invading alien force. And there's a movie, a live-action movie of Space Cruiser Yamato, coming out later this year from Japan, and I'm very excited about it.
And there's a live-action movie of the game Battleship in development right now.
This is true. There's so many thematic links.
And can we just sing along with the Lady Gaga in the background as we go out?
He says bitterly.
As our friend Megan, she's going to play poker.
No, I'm not going to play poker.
She has a deck of cards out. Would you like to sing a little of Poker Face?
Not even a little.
Okay. All right, so let's go. Poker Face, Poker Face.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Carry my poker face.
Oh, my tailbone kind of hurt after that Intrepid deck viewing of Raiders.
Yeah, they really have to set something up better. I mean, next time if we go, we have to bring chairs.
There were no chairs.
It was my back. I have horrible posture as it is. So, like, trying to sit up, like, for 2 hours. Plus, there are people in front of us.
With chairs.
Yeah.
So their heads are taller.
It was ridiculous.
I was ready to take down this guy in front of me.
But it was still fucking awesome to see
amazing.
Raiders of the Lost Ark on a big screen. I don't think I've done that since 80.
Yeah,
when I saw
outdoors.
Yeah, that was
in
really
a beautiful, cool summer night on the deck of the battleship Intrepid.
And definitely something that we noticed in watching an old film like this was how much the score pretty much drove the entire movie.
Yeah. There are entire scenes, entire sequences where without the score, it would be dead. Not be nearly as exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the thing,
compelling.
It's just not as edited fast. There's not a lot of effects. It's all practical effects. And it's just very basic, you know, cars driving, people just standing there, you know. And it's all moved really fast by the score. And the score is through the entire movie.
And it's a masterpiece of a score.
But that's kind of the way the films were back then. The score was raised in volume over even the dialogue almost, where there wasn't a lot of dialogue in overall. And Kevin, our kind of soundtrack expert, has a problem with that.
He has a problem with the new version.
The
not
new
the version,
because he watches films today, and he's a huge fan of scores.
Scores are a lot less important nowadays.
They're just in the background of all the explosions and stuff like that. And you can't really hear it.
And John Williams, of course, was and is a master of this. And this was sort of his glory days, obviously.
Yeah.
Star Wars, Raiders, Jaws.
And the next one coming up on the 20th, on Friday, is Rocky. And that score is fucking amazing.
Oh, they're showing The Intrepid is a summer series, we found out.
And so the 20th is going to be Rocky, and then the Friday after that on the 27th is the first Iron Man.
Now, it's funny. I haven't seen the first Iron Man since it came out.
Yeah.
So I don't know what my experience. I'm sure I would enjoy the hell out of it.
And speaking of, I mean, we got into this a little bit, and maybe we'll do it during the nerd news, but the sequel to Iron Man was supposedly not done the way Jon Favreau wanted it to.
Well, there is this. It's funny. We were talking about in the nerd news coming up later, and in the news in general, we have so many rumors nowadays. And there is a report, an unsubstantiated report.
The nerd news is back, by the way.
The nerd news will be back this episode.
Maybe we should also. We didn't really give a completely proper intro, I think, in our last segment, but we are the Geek Radio.
We are the Geek Radio show.
And you're Tony Wolf. I'm Mike, producer Mike. And what else? What do we got? I never do this opening. So
yeah, take it away.
Join our Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We have new shows every Monday and Friday. Download the show. We're actually figuring out how to download it for people who have mobile devices, and we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yes.
We're so scattered right now. We have too many things.
We may create our own app. That'll be very exciting.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, well, before we get into that, I just wanted to end on you know, this kind of old versus new movies and stuff like this, and just how it is interesting how, you know, momentous and how epic, you know, films were back in the day. And I think it really did have a lot to do with the score and how it just kind of resonated and stayed with us for generations. You know, it wasn't even just the dialogue, wasn't even the actual sequences in the movies. But it's that score. Whenever you hear that score, it just makes you think of a time and stuff. You don't have that with new movies today where you hear a score. You know, they don't have intros to sitcoms anymore. They don't have scoring for movies much anymore. The music has really, like, had a decline. I mean, now, obviously, the music industry sucks. We need music to come back.
Can we think? Now, by the way, we're saying this, but we're not meaning to devalue the other areas of Raiders of the Lost Ark, which are all...
incredible.
The film is a masterpiece of editing, it's a masterpiece of writing, it's a masterpiece of performance, it's plot, it's brilliant, it's an amazing movie.
But it's just interesting when you have scenes where people are just talking,
and
nothing,
the score is really helping set that
mood.
Yeah,
I mean, nothing is happening, but the score is editing the film for itself.
Yeah,
it's just interesting.
And also we noticed that lighting, so much was done with lighting to make these sets, which probably look cheesy in the light of day, look so atmospheric and eerie. And Spielberg brought a little bit of that back in the ill-fated fourth Indiana Jones movie, but he did try to use practical sets, and you did see certain sequences where he was, you know, going back to his best
techniques. It's interesting, I guess, with J.J. Abrams' new film that's supposedly an ode to those older horror films.
That
8mm or
8mm,
whatever.
Right.
But what's so funny is, like, there are sequences, like the one where Indiana Jones puts the staff in, and we're just waiting for light to hit the staff. That's it?
We're waiting for light to slowly move across a room, and yet it's so thrilling and exciting.
Again, the score.
Yeah.
That was awesome. But what were you going to say?
What was I saying? Raiders, score, Raiders being amazing.
Score! Okay.
Score!
Let's move on. If you can remember.
Topic?
I don't even know. Well, we're talking about the podcast thing. All right. So we wanted to get into something that's very important and near and dear to our hearts, basically because everybody won't let us think differently. We've been forced into figuring out a way to provide our show for people who don't necessarily, you know, want to or aren't capable of downloading the show the normal way, which is just to go to our archive and just download it.
You can always right-click any episode on our archives and download it like a regular QuickTime or Windows Media Player. It'll be very easy.
I mean, we've talked about this before, this concept of the fact that, like a watch, okay, we are a watch that actually tells time. That's all we do. We are very simple.
We are a radio show. There's a play button on our site for the radio show.
But it seems to confuse people. Most people today are used to watches that do everything but tell time. We actually tell time. And
it confuses people, apparently.
I think we are too simple. Today, things cannot work if they're too simple, and that's where we're... So anyway...
don't say things cannot work, because we're working.
Yeah, but we're...
But people, it's difficult for people to absorb it.
There's a learning curve here, and so...
we have to condition our audience.
And so, but now, what we're up against now is this concept of the mobile device taking over completely, and people having to figure out a way
to
play download
the
show.
Room, yeah.
Because they can't download normally, like a right-click on a mobile device. So we were told that maybe an option for us would be to create an app. So that's something we're going to look into, and we might premiere an Action Room app in the coming months.
We have our technicians working on a customized special Action Room app. I mean, isn't that exciting? I think I'm excited.
Who do we have working on that?
We have our specialized Action Room technicians and programmers.
Are they like the people in Empire Strikes Back, those little pig characters, remember, in Lando's...
The Gamorrean guards?
No. They were the ones that worked in Lando's place.
Oh, yes.
I had those figures.
These guys are more like on the deck of the Executor, Darth Vader's Star Destroyer.
Star Destroyer, right.
Wasn't it called the Executor, I think? This is little known Star Wars trivia.
Okay.
We'll have to call someone. Yeah, yeah. But this is all the people that are like manning the little consoles that you never hear from, but they're just monitoring all the screens.
So, okay, but this is the other thing that we wanted to talk about.
Right.
Since we're innovating all over the place, one of the innovations, one of the changes that we are providing for the internet is we need to kill off a word today. Okay? This word strikes fear in the hearts of people like us, I guess. What would you say about the word?
Well, we can't say the word yet, or just about the word?
Okay, say the word.
Okay. The word that we are going to do away with officially today is the word... podcast.
Ooh, don't even say it.
All I said was Jehovah. That's a Monty Python reference.
I mean, the whole thing is, you know, podcast is the term that technically means, a broadcast that you do
on
demand
internet.
Or whatever. Yeah, it's subscription-based and stuff like this. But
Not
all of them, but pretty much most of them. And everybody keeps asking, why isn't your thing on iTunes? Why isn't it a podcast? Blah, 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 blah. And the whole thing is we've been trying to direct people to our site. That has been the focus.
To drive traffic through our site.
And we just hate that term podcast, just like we had Jen Friel, our guest last week, who said, or last episode, who said she hates the word blogger. And the thing is,
We like, there are terms that we can use. Radio, internet radio.
Yes.
Radio show. I was reading up, we could use the term netcast instead of podcast.
That's even weird. We're radio. We're internet radio.
But podcast just is just such a bad word.
It
kind of
sounds
nowadays.
Dinky. Yeah. It kind of sounds small time. And
if you say you have a podcast, it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like saying, I wrote a little thing on a piece of paper and I made it into an airplane and I threw it out my window.
That's
who
exactly
cares?
What it means.
Anyone can do that.
So we're going to continue to call ourselves a radio show. We use the term radiosodes, but we are definitely going to kill off the term podcast today. And
so many podcasts are of such inferior quality, too, that we just want to raise ourselves above that.
And yes, we are better than everyone else. And the person that's going to help us, what's the term?
Lay the term to rest or...
But the service, he's going to...
he's going to conduct
a funeral
for the word podcast.
And his name is... what is his name?
I believe he is the Reverend Ichabod Pallywinkle.
And wow, that I just noticed the initials are RIP. That's
well,
funny.
He's a Brit. He's a Brit. You know how those Brits are.
All right, so Reverend, thank you. You're here. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good evening, gentlemen.
All right, so without further ado, let's commence with the funeral for the word podcast.
The term podcast was first mentioned by Ben Hammersley in the Guardian newspaper in a February 2004 article, along with other proposed names for the new medium. It is a portmanteau of the words pod, playable on demand, which was later used by Apple for its brand of portable media player the iPod, and the word broadcasting. Today, too many people use this term, and therefore it must be laid to rest, buried 6 feet under the interground. No more will this term be used to conjure up images of nerds recording on crummy audio equipment in their parents' basements. We will not miss you, dear podcast. I think it would be surprised if it saw so few listeners gathered here to mourn it. And so I say to you today, users of the dearly departed, the term podcast may be gone, but its damage to broadcasting will live on.
Nomine Patri et Filium et Spiritum Sanctum.
Oh, sorry, Producer Mike. I was coming out of that funeral sequence, and I felt I needed to say a prayer in Latin on behalf of the action room.
I'm still recovering.
Oh,
it'll
be okay.
Service.
It'll be okay, Producer Mike. Geek Radio will live on.
Thank you.
Even if it's not that other word.
Yes,
All right.
We can never say that other word again.
We're not allowing it on this show.
That's
awesome. It is verboten. It is forbidden.
Now, what happens if we have a guest on who actually does say the word?
We beat them up, actually.
Okay, awesome.
We flog
awesome.
Them. Yeah,
I've always
yeah.
wanted a reason to beat up a guest.
Well, you know, in honor of the funeral, we thought it would be appropriate to do what we do best.
And bring back to life.
Oh, that's right. We've laid one thing to rest, and we bring back to life, back to the action room,
the
Nerd News.
You know, we were saying earlier that in the world of pop culture and geek news, there's a lot of rumors, but sometimes those rumors are damn important.
They are.
Sometimes they seem a lot like fact.
And they're important so that they can fill up our show.
All right, so the first item in the nerd news, there are massive, heavy rumors and reports from multiple sources that as far as the upcoming Green Lantern movie from DC
Warner. Or maybe we can use the term hefty rumors. They're not wimpy. They're hefty.
Hefty. How many of our listeners do you think will get that reference?
Wimpy.
Okay,
go ahead.
So, the Green Lantern movie, which is being directed by Martin Campbell, the director of the James Bond reboot Casino Royale, they are already planning on making a Green Lantern trilogy. Warner Brothers wants to see this as a potential new Lord of the Rings type franchise. Apparently, they want to do one movie a year,
wow.
And they're already writing the second film.
So, I mean, do you think this is going to work out? I mean, it probably will.
I think it will. I've heard and seen only great things about the Green Lantern movie, other than his shitty mask, which they can fix because it's all CGI.
So that means, okay, the first one is supposed to come out next year?
Yes.
So it would be 11, 12, and 13.
Yes.
That would, wow, interesting. And then now this
we'll
other...
We'll talk about the post-2012 world later. But.
Yeah, but well, it all kind of comes at the same time. Now, the other rumor is about a Justice League movie.
Yes.
Now, how would that all work? I mean, see, the thing I don't get about this is, like, it makes a lot of sense. Marvel did it the right way. They, you know, establish all the characters we don't know.
Right.
And then they put them together in the Avengers. Like with X-Men, that was the wrong way to do it. They did all the X-Men movies first. I know a lot of people are fans of the X-Men. But I think they would have been better, I don't know if this would have been possible, but to focus on like each individual character and then put them together.
Oh,
or
I don't
something
think so,
like that.
Because
I
the X-Men by nature is an ensemble
I guess.
Concept.
I just felt like it all right, so this will be interesting. So you think a Justice League movie will work without establishing the other characters?
Well, no, who knows? I mean, Warner Brothers has so much catch-up work to do. They're so behind Marvel in every way. So this is one of our favorite sources.
But Green Lantern makes sense, you're thinking, as like their first big comeback movie,
well,
trilogy.
Well, this is the way I look at it. If you think about it, they've had Batman and Superman, and the Batman films have been very successful. Superman, they're struggling to get back on track. Green Lantern is DC's Iron Man.
Okay.
Green Lantern is the first B-level character that they are bringing to the mainstream. I remember we can all project back, listeners, and project back
I'm
to when
back.
Project back to when you knew they were doing an Iron Man movie, you knew the cast, but you know you hadn't seen any footage, you hadn't seen any concept drawings of the costume or the armor. This was the first B-level character, and we all knew that. The average household person, they've heard of Iron Man, maybe, but they don't really know what it's a supporting cast, what it's this thing. And they showed you can hit a home run with a B-level character, and this is DC's chance to hit a home run with their first B-level movie character.
And what was interesting about Iron Man is the reason I thought it could be great is the fact that they got somebody like Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's now how they're approaching it. They're getting these people that are kind of like indie directors who need their big blockbuster film. And
actually what we were going to talk about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that there's another rumor that Jon Favreau was very dissatisfied with the fact that he had to cram in so much setup for the Avengers movie and for the other movies, the Thor concept,
which I thought he did well. But
I thought he did beautifully, but apparently he did so under duress from the studios. And there's another rumor that he was approached several times to direct the Avengers movie back, say, a year ago.
But they wouldn't pay him enough. So.
And, well, this is the rumor that
and I can see that.
He wanted more money.
Because as much I understand where I'm at with Joss Whedon, and I hope he does a good thing, but I know he wasn't the first person approached to do the Avengers movie.
And if you think about it, I mean, as much as I love Joss, he's had one movie that was a moderate success among cult fans, and that's it.
And
this will be probably his second feature film ever, right?
And he probably
he did Cabin in the Woods, but that hasn't been released yet.
But he also probably does come cheaper than a Jon Favreau.
I'm sure he does, especially since, you know, his Dollhouse bombed and...
Right. And it just doesn't seem like Hollywood in general were really that pleased with anything he was doing. I mean, the Wonder Woman script they didn't go with.
Oh,
and stuff
so
like that.
Sad. Someday we would love to read the Wonder Woman script in a vault. If you're a source out there, please let us know.
But so the Justice League movie, that will be the introduction of Wonder Woman, you think? I mean,
yes,
as opposed to a Wonder Woman movie?
Well, first we want to cite our source here. This is a guy I noticed on Twitter. His name is Pietro Filipponi. And his Twitter handle is pony_boy, PONI_BOY. I noticed him about 4 months ago. He just seemed to have a source. He was not a famous site. Now he's a lot more well-known. His site is comicbookmovie.com. Very simple. Very smart to purchase that domain name whenever he purchased it.
Ponyboy just sounds like somebody you'd find like in a gay club in the 80s.
Well, yes, there is that. But I think he's been in the military services, too.
Oh,
so
there. That explains it.
We can't say that too loud because he would beat us up. No, he seems like a tough guy. But anyway, they have an exclusive that a Justice League movie, which, of course, DC has been trying to get off the ground for years. I remember 2 years ago they hired some director. They were going to film in Australia to save money. And they were casting a Green Lantern movie, and they actually had a massive casting call for Wonder Woman. Back then, the idea was you introduce Wonder Woman as part of the ensemble of Justice League and see how it flies.
Here's my question to
you. Now they're doing that again.
Now, this is an interesting question about Wonder Woman. Now, granted, she is an Amazon. She's muscular and stuff. But do you think they're going to go the route of, like, a China, like a wrestler-type, you know, person?
What?
Or you know her, right?
China?
You've never heard of her?
Oh, I thought
China.
You meant would they cast someone who's Chinese.
No. The wrestler, China. China like a
Phillips,
big,
whatever her name is.
Not
oh,
Phillips.
Oh, that's the singer.
Right. No.
Anyway.
Somebody big like that. Or would they go with, like, a Linda Carter, you know, like, kind of that. So
it's going to be a hybrid. If they're smart, it's going to be a beautiful woman.
Xena. What's her name?
Xena-esque.
What's
yes.
her name?
What is that woman's name?
I forget
oh, my gosh.
I thought
gosh.
You would know. Okay.
I forget.
Anyway, her.
Sam Raimi put her in her, you know, the Spider-Man films. Anyway, I'll come up with it later.
All right. So what do you think now, again, about the Justice League movie?
So the idea, we haven't told the best part. Oh, not the best part, the most interesting news. This Justice League movie will not involve, this theoretical rumored Justice League movie, will not involve Batman or Superman. It's going to be Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter, Green Lantern, and Flash. And the idea that we'll already have seen Green Lantern in his movies. They have a Flash movie in development, so who knows when, you know,
so
the Justice League movie
guess.
And the Flash movie. That way you have someone like an Aquaman, Martian Manhunter, Aquaman, Martian Manhunter, and Wonder Woman being like the secondary characters that get introduced with this movie.
This is my guess. I think the way they're actually going to play it out is they are, even though this is a rumor now about the Justice League movie, I think they are going to establish these characters a little bit more in their own movies before they do a Justice League movie along the lines of an Avengers. Because I don't think a Justice League movie will do as well if it doesn't have established characters, especially like a Superman or a Batman. And I do think eventually...
Well, in the original Justice League, though, in the comics, Superman and Batman were not part of it.
I'm just saying, but we're trying to sell tickets here.
Right.
I think, though, also...
Do they have time, though? They can't catch up to the Avengers in 2 years.
Well, two things. One is, I think that at the time it finally comes out, they will include Superman and Batman. Two is, I think it is interesting, there's a timeline, not only so much for the Avengers, but this timeline we talk about of how long can superhero movies be that big at the box office. So they might want to get this out as fast as they can.
Yeah. Well, it's just so funny, because like I said, 2 years ago they were trying to get a Justice League movie off the ground, and
things have changed so much in 2 years.
Right, but they've dragged their heels. Shame on you. Shame on you, DC Warner Brothers. Catch up.
So they might have to do it, even because, this might not be the...
it's like the space race.
Right.
They have to put a satellite in orbit before the Soviets.
And so this might not be the way they wanted to do it, but they kind of have to do it this way. So that's the question. The next question.
Well, this was an article, actually. Matthew Vaughn, who directed Kick-Ass and is directing X-Men First Class, recently said in an interview that he believes that the shelf life of the Hollywood superhero movie craze is not very long. He believes that maybe by the Avengers movie in 2012... maybe some bad superhero movies will have come out, and that will kill the trend, or at least slow it down considerably.
Now, I think that, you know, I've been saying this for a while, that entertainment will die with technology.
Producer Mike
over.
Believes the death of the entertainment industry is nigh. He believes that it's very close.
Now, remember, Tony is laughing at me right now. We will play this back in 2012.
In the post-apocalyptic world, where no one can make any money.
As Tony's shivering
business.
In a cardboard box. No, but I think the whole thing is
anyone
like...
anyone want to hire an actor?
Whether I'm right about this or not, definitely in 2012, I think there will be a peak for geek culture.
Yeah.
And this whole thing with the Avengers and stuff, I think people, as they said, as Matthew Vaughn said in his article, I think people are going to get a little tired of the you know, the people...
The superhero concept.
You know, the cape or the, you know, somebody in a
costumes,
costume,
yeah.
Punch, you know, explosions, and the 3D thing's going to be wearing thin by that point won't already.
Yeah.
And I just think this concept of they're going to have to change it up a little bit, you know what I mean?
The quality must be continuously high for it to even sustain
thing.
The next several years.
Are they
going to
keep
years?
Doing even... Who was the one that was doing the X-Men movie? He said he had to do it now because he knew there was only a small
window.
This is
window. That guy. This is Matthew
Vaughn. Is Matthew Vaughn?
Yeah.
Oh, the Kick-Ass
yeah, yeah.
guy's doing the X-Men thing. I didn't even realize
that. I just said that. Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't even realize that. Right. Okay, so the whole thing is like, I do believe that there is... that can happen, where the superhero movies will kind of have their heyday. And I also think the way things are going, that there won't probably be a next wave, and it definitely won't be as epic as this generation's,
this wave.
You know.
Well, you still have Mark Webb's Spider-Man reboot. You still have the Christopher Nolan-produced Superman movie, which everyone is very excited about, for that character to return to glory and to return to a good movie, finally.
And that's the thing. So
and you have Christopher Nolan's final Batman movie.
So when you have... you know, at least 4, 5, 6 more movies before even the Avengers.
Yeah.
Plus,
the Marvel is already wanting to develop its C-level characters.
You're going to have TV variations of these things, like Blue Beetle. You're going to have, you know, other kind of fringe characters like Scott Pilgrim and Green Hornet and stuff like this. It's just going to be saturated like every other thing that gets successful.
Yeah.
They saturate the market with this shit. People get tired of it. And, you know, I don't know what's after this, but maybe...
They are making a Judge Dredd movie.
That's
a British comic, but
you know
that's a little more of an indie sensibility, I think. Sci-fi, indie.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I have no reason to think this. I think mob movies will come back in 2013.
Oh, yeah?
Gangster movies.
Gangster movies,
yeah.
Mob movies. Okay.
Period pieces.
Period pieces. Once upon a time in
America.
People
are going to get tired of the future and the sci-fi.
They're going to want to go back
period.
To the past.
Yeah,
all right. Producer Mike is a good trend predictor. So, you know.
I totally made that one up.
all right. When I'm in my cardboard box 5 years from now, I'll remember.
Hey, look, a remake of Scarface. I don't know why you're an old man all of a sudden. Like 2 years
all
from
right.
now, we're going to
I'm going to go hang out with the Reverend who was earlier in the show. He can do my funeral.
Oh, look, he's still here.
Oh, gentlemen, I rather like that Doctor Who show on the BBC.
Are they going to do a Doctor Who movie, you think, Reverend?
Doctor Who should live on forever, man. He's got at least 4 incarnations left.
I do believe, before this whole wave of geek culture is done, Tony will be one of the Doctor Whos.
I would love to. I could play David Tennant's nephew.
Do you have like a line he always says that you can say?
I don't really.
Okay.
I really don't.
Wait, he doesn't.
You can see our Doctor Who spoof, Doctor What, on YouTube, where I'm sort of a Tom Baker, David Tennant fusion.
He doesn't have a tagline he always says or something?
He doesn't really.
Wow,
at least
really?
Not that I know. I haven't watched Doctor Who in 4 years. I have to catch up.
I have figured out then why he's not big in America.
Because he doesn't
Americans
have a catchphrase?
Americans need tagline. Yeah, and catchphrases. That's what we need. So I would say right now, why don't you give Doctor Who
a catchphrase? He just says, I'm the Doctor.
There you go. That's good enough.
That's what he says.
All right. We're done.
Awesome. I guess we're done. Oh, my gosh. And we've laid that term to rest. And
we're not going to say it.
I feel so much. It's like a weight off my chest, producer.
And we're going to send that funeral broadcast to Adam Curry, who kind of created the term that
yes,
we just killed
the
off.
The term that shall not be named.
Yeah. And so anyway.
Well, one question. Once geek culture peaks, if it does indeed peak, as we're predicting, what happens next?
Jocks will beat us up again.
The jocks can beat us up again. We're no longer to be like, Angelina won't come to our movies.
You had a nice 10 years, kids, but you know, no, I don't
now
know.
We can give you a wedgie.
No, but I do think that there will be some other kind of geekier culture coming out, but I don't know what that is.
Interesting. What if it's CB radios?
Yeah, well, I did say I think it's anti-tech. Technology. So
we're gonna unplug.
It's kind of the steampunk generation. So
steampunk.
We'll see what happens with that.
Okay.
But anyway, all right. So
So we're the Action Room. We have new radio sodes every Monday
Reverend,
and Friday.
Reverend, would you like to say the last line?
This section right here.
Right there.
All right. Well, they are the Action Room, and as they said, they have new shows every Monday and Friday. They call them radio sodes. It's quite unique, actually. Join their Facebook fan page. I don't know what Facebook is, but
keep going. Move on.
And follow them on Twitter.
Yes.
It twits. Is it like Monty Python? They had that sketch about upper-class twit of the year.
I guess so, yeah, Reverend. All right.
All right.
So
I'm going to go in my 1976 Chevrolet now and fly back to Britain.
You fly in your Chevrolet?
He's like the flying nun, he is.
All right, anyway. Let's end it.
All
and
right.
We'll check us out. We'll probably be at the Rocky screening on the 20th Friday.
Oh, hells yeah.
And if not, definitely the Iron Man.
On the Intrepid, we're gonna bring cushions.
Please, bring chairs.
My tailbone.
You know, we should bring one of those beanbag chairs. That would be awesome.
Awesome. All right, action fans.
Do they make beanbag couches? That would be awesome. I'm going to create one of those.
They probably do.
Whatever.
Okay, we'll see you next time. Action fans, join the Action Army.